I drip when the baseline's low. Rip off the beat and my rip shit out live. Out to my people that be loving the vibe. I'm on the mic with my little cool flow. I like it when the baseline's low. Rip off the beat and my rip shit out live. Out to my people.
I'm hiding inside. My heart is in pain. I'm smiling for you. get a good feeling. Yeah. Get a feeling that I never, 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 never had before. No, no, no. I get a good feeling. Yeah. Oh, sometimes I get a good feeling. Yeah. Get a feeling that I never, 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 never had before. No, no, no. I get a good feeling. Yeah. We'll be right back.
Alrighty. Got a good day. Good show for you tonight, I'll tell you. Just waiting on John. Grumple Bumple Stiltskin, as we call him around here.
Jackson. Yeah.
Yes, indeed. Time flies when you're slaying bangers. Whatever that means. 10 minutes to the bottom of the hour. Mo is going to take flight. Put me right there, right in the crutch right there. Give myself a little juice on this bad boy. How am I sounding, folks? Do I sound all right? Am I too low, too high? Am I doing well? I think that sounds pretty good. Yes, sir. Crunchy, maybe? I don't know. We'll see what John says. Johnny boy. Teats, teats, teats and testes. Teats and testes. Sounding like $1 million. Thank you.
You found me.
Get up off the floor. Dancing.
All the time, but baby, you on my mind. And I don't know why, yeah, but the feeling is fine. Can't you see, yeah, honey, you are for me. Oh, we were meant to be. Dancing in the moonlight. Gazing at the stars so bright. Holding you until the sunrise.
Dancing.
Dancing is what to do. Dancing's what think of you. Dancing's what fills my soul. Dancing's what makes me fool. Dancing is what to do. Dancing's what think of you. Dancing's what fills my soul. Dancing's what makes me fool. Every time when I look in your eyes, I smile with pride. Happy that you are mine. Joy and love, your love is true.
Ooh, do, do, do. I think I've got everything ready. But then, you know, it's one of those things where I'll remember it as soon as John connects. But minutes past the bottom of the hour, but rest assured, we shall arrive. Because arriving is what we do. We arrive here on this show. Forever and always. While we're waiting on John, I'm going to do a clip sound test using a clip from last week.
Tonight, meteoric levels of confusion in Cleveland. After a loud boom rang through the region, frightening the pets in this person's backyard and stopping drivers in their tracks.
Whoa, what the f*** was that?
The fireball also spotted as far away as Pittsburgh, streaking through the sky.
Anyone that's in Northeast Ohio, did you hear the loud boom?
It sounded like a freaking bomb went off in the Cleveland area.
NASA Ooh. Says it was a meteor fracture.
It was a meteor. All right, test over. We'll be right back.
Yeah.
Still waiting on John here. We should be getting going shortly, I'd hope. No word from him. No files dropped in the folder. I'd love to say that that's unusual, but it's very much usual. That's very much the case. Yes, sir. Got some more DJ Horse Goop tunes for you coming right up. Hello, John.
Why I cannot hear the music?
We can hear you.
Ah. There. Okay, hello.
Hello.
Hi, are you still there?
Yes.
I lost the music. Is Dan going away? Is Dan going to say away?
Nope.
Oh, there you are, okay. Some that say I could not make it. My goodness, what are we listening to? Are you going through an emo phase? Are the kids being that bad?
Franz by the Camel Power Club, dude.
Why would you care? Did butch? Not did?
I think they're Swedish or something.
Yeah, so it's basically emo.
Not really.
I just want you to believe me.
I just want you to believe me.
I just want you to leave me alone.
I just want you to believe me.
Boom. Boom.
Oh, no one believes me. Yeah, no one
I just want to
me.
Eat pickled herring. I just want to build IKEA furniture. Radio.
I just want you to believe me. I just want you to believe
yes, hello.
Me.
It's on a
radio. Can I please have my bike back?
That Muslim guy just threw a grenade at me. That's an actual that's actually a problem in Sweden.
I'm aware.
The Muslim gangs have grenades. And Ukraine showed them that, hey, you have a DJI drone and a servo. You can deliver packages from above.
Death delivered.
Okay. Last checks. How do I sound to you? Do I sound good?
You sound good. How do I sound? Check 1 2 1 2. Check 1 2 3 4 5 6 7 8 9 10.
Czech Republic. 1 2 1 2. Czech Republic. Yeah. All right. Let's play that back for a second. Here we are. That sounds loud.
6 7 8 9 10.
Czech Republic. 1 2 1 2. Where? Czech Republic. Yeah. Is that too loud? Too hot, you think?
10.
Czech Republic. Czech Republic. 1 2 1 2. Czech Republic. Yeah. I think that sounds fine.
Okay.
Levels. Well, maybe.
Why are you cutting out?
What do you mean, why am I cutting out?
Huh? Your audio cuts out intermittently.
I don't believe it does.
Yes, you are well aware of what my ears are experiencing.
Yes, please explain me to myself.
All right, you want to do this?
Yes, please explain me to myself. Yeah, I do. I think I'm just going to knock myself down to dog biscuit and hit record, and we can go live on Rumble. I haven't been checking. Has X been going live, or is that failing each week?
I don't know. You expect me to check that?
I just connect up to it. I don't really X. do anything with the videos. I used to put the thumbnail and a nice little wraparound thing. Hey, maybe more people will watch it. No.
Yeah, it says we're live.
On X? Hell yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, live.
Yeah, live. We're live. That's what we want. We want to be live.
Yeah, live. Yeah.
Live?
Yeah, live, not Palestinian.
Not. Man, them J-boys really turned Gaza to Zaza.
You got my clips?
Yep.
Let's get it on.
Get it on.
It must be quite apparent
by this time to any thinking individual that the people of our country and people of other countries all over the world are coming to face a moment of grave decision. The time when we will choose the course of our future.
Oklahoma, Texas, New York, Philadelphia, around the world, it's gonna be a big nut bust.
The Millennial Media Offensive Podcast is now live.
That's right. Today's March 24th, 2026. You're listening to MMO number 112 and from the great city and state of St. Louis, Missouri. I'm Dan Gehring.
And from America's South Coast, where everyone is saying I ran because I couldn't afford gas, I'm John G. Duke.
Ooh. Little, you cut out a little bit there. Not bad. Not let's run it back level, but I ran because I couldn't afford gas.
Do we need to check the recording and make sure? Do we need to check the recording and make sure it's not cutting on the recording?
It's not cutting on the recording.
You're certain?
Yeah. Well, it was cutting on the recording. Here, I will appease you. Badoo. Louis, Missouri. I'm Dan Gehring.
And from America's South Coast, where everyone is saying I ran because I couldn't afford gas, I'm John G. Duke.
See, it's a network cutout.
That sounds awful.
Well, yeah, because you had a network little glitch. Would you like to run it back, good sir?
I think that would be best. I'm going to make sure that all of my other... Wi-Fi connected devices are off.
Oop. Yeah, you just...
Yep, let me turn some things off around here.
Okay. Let me turn some stuff on around here. Hello, smart router. Let me put you on my normal network, and I'm sure you won't call home to China. Yeah, I dropped momentarily. I just stopped talking momentarily. Hentai torrents. I don't have hentai torrents. I do have Sonar running on the local network. Sonar is great if your wife likes to say, hey, can you download the show? And it's actively coming out. So there's like an episode available out of a 15 episode season. You just go to Sonar and say, I want to download this show. And Sonar will continue to download the shows through your download client week after week. So you don't have to continually go back. It just does it automatically. You pair that with Plex that automatically pulls metadata. You have to pretty much do nothing. It is great. They also have one for movies called Radar. I would highly recommend that, especially if you... I want to go see that movie, but I just had twins, and there's no way I'd ever go to a movie theater anymore. Now, when it's available, you can download it. These are the tips. That's Sonar, S-O-N-A-R.
Now, see, I'm wondering if people are also hearing you blip out, because I'm hearing you blip out. And someone mentioned that you were blipping out, and you discounted their experience, their lived experience.
No, I am not blipping out. You are blipping out because it is your network connection issue. And that's the reason why you're hearing me blip out, is because your network is blipping out.
But someone said you blipped out.
Someone said I dropped momentarily, but I actually stopped talking mid-sentence.
Oh, technicalities, I see.
Yeah.
Let me
clear my throat.
I am going to talk for just a minute while I join the chat room. What's one more tab? And going to see if there are any drops before we do this intro again, because I don't want there to be those drops. I want this to sound like we're in the same room having a very measured and professional conversation.
Okay.
I'm in the room. Did you hear me drop it all or blip out or drop or whatever you want to call it?
Oh, I Stroke? Wasn't listening. I'm just kidding. No, I didn't. You're good.
Ah, good. Well, that's the way it usually is.
All right, you ready to go?
Let's get it on.
Get it on.
It must be quite apparent by this time to any thinking individual that the people of our country and people of other countries all over the world are coming to face a moment of grave decision. A time when we will choose the course of our future.
Oklahoma, Texas, New York, Philadelphia, around the world, it's gonna be a big nut bus.
The Millennial Media Offensive Podcast is now live.
That's right. Today's March 24th, 2026. You're listening to MMO 212. And for the great city and state of St. Louis, Missouri, I'm Dan Gehring.
And from America's South Coast, where everyone is saying Iran because I couldn't afford gas, I'm John G. Dew.
Everyone is saying that. I haven't actually had to fill it. I don't drive my car at all, very often, maybe once a week. If that.
Yes, you work from home.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty rad.
You work from home. You parent from home.
Yeah, I have twins, so I can't actually ever leave the house. I think the only person I know well is the guy at the local bodega who sells me my cheap domestic beer.
Yeah, and your priest at the at the Menards.
That's right. That's right. I do the Sunday service that is in the ropes and chains aisle, as I like to call it, the Italian aisle at Menards. It's a good place. But yeah, gas prices are high. Apparently, everyone's freaking out a little bit.
Yeah, and since we're just gonna jump off into this with I'm gonna take my intro and run with it. I think we should go. I don't know if you heard. I mean, this had to have been 20 minutes ago. This breaking news. If you go into the Iran folder, I just saved a quick clip. That's why I was late. It's breaking rundown from CNN. And unless you have an objection, I say we just kick this thing off.
Let's fire it.
We did it, America!
Most important clip of the week.
We did it! Freedom of speech!
So that's the rapper Afro Man celebrating a major legal victory against his local police. Until now, he was most well known for his 2000 hit, Because I Got High. But in 2022, the Adams County, Ohio Sheriff's Office obtained a search warrant for Afro Man's home as part of an investigation into drug trafficking and kidnapping. He wasn't home, but a family member and security cameras captured the scene. After going through his house, guns drawn, police charged him with nothing. Afro Man then turned the footage of the incident into a parody music video called Lemon Pound Cake, referencing a moment when one deputy did a double take at the dessert on his kitchen counter.
The Adams County Sheriff kicked down my door, then I heard the glass break. They found no kidnapping victims, just some lemon pound cake.
The sheriff's office sued him for defamation and invasion of privacy for that video, and a series of posts he made mocking them personally and professionally. The deputies testified they were targeted with death threats.
How did you feel when you learned that these posts were out there?
Humiliated.
What reaction did you get from the community, if any?
Hollering names, Lieutenant looking low, and been called a doctor. You know, things like that.
When they call you a son of a bitch, that would be an opinion?
I'd assume that would be an opinion.
Okay. Because there's no way we can prove whether you're a son of a bitch.
Nah, she's been dead for years.
Afro Man argued the content was protected under the First Amendment.
Under the circumstance that I got freedom of speech, after they run around my house with guns and kick down my door, I got the right to kick a can in my backyard, use my freedom of speech, turn my bad times into a good time. Yes, I do.
The jury only took a few hours to side with Afro Man, helping him avoid millions of dollars in damages.
Yeah, that's right. Afro Man moved in the white hood and houses went up for sale. Love it.
Yeah. So, just to give you a little bit more of a rundown of this situation, he was raided. They didn't find anything. They didn't charge him with anything. The story goes, and I don't know how much credence to give this, the story goes that he asked them to fix his door that they kicked in and apologize. And when they wouldn't, he started using the footage camera footage from his home in music videos.
Yep.
They claim defaming them. and of course they sued for defamation. And, oh, he's using our image and likeness. Well, yeah, you went into his house and he had cameras.
Yeah.
Now, he also used some publicly available photos, but they're publicly available. So this all happened, and the members of the sheriff's department that he ridiculed in song and verse sued him, and now he just got the results back from the jury, the civil jury, and I think she said they took a couple of hours to deliberate, and I watched some of these testimonies. The sheriffs never had a chance. The sheriff's deputies, they were all up there talking about their feelings and how their feelings were hurt. And Afro Man's argument and his attorney were locked down. I mean, there was no question in any of the material that I saw that he had this one locked up. And you could,
yeah. And framing it as a First Amendment fight is also the best too, because it's like I can literally do all of this.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And you heard the discourse around whether it was a provable fact or an opinion that someone is an SOB. It was that kind of thing. It's pretty entertaining. I didn't really clip any segments of it because it's not, you know, material too much, and there's a lot to cover this week. But I wanted to start here because I think it's funny. And I think the sheriff's office basically got what they deserve. You can't, the fact that they feel as though they can act with impunity in the name of public safety and face no consequences, and even were searching for damages, reacted to their impunity under his rights, his First Amendment right that we like to pretend we have here. Sometimes they will, you know, we pretend all the way to the courthouse, and someone like Afro Man wins a case, and you realize, or the people in this case, the Ohio Sheriff's Department in this town, realize that you act with impunity all you want, but sometimes, oh, look, I'll be darned if it isn't the consequences of my actions.
They'll come around and get you. Yeah, I'm happy for Afro Man. That's the best thing that's happened to him in probably, I don't know, 20 years. However long it's been since Because I Got High came out. And that other one, that other vulgar one about fornication.
Yes, yes. Well, you know, he is Afro Man.
He is indeed. Yes, yes.
You sound uninspired.
Well, you know.
So let's...
Yeah, let's change it to something else. We're talking about Iran and gas prices. What do you got? What do you got on that front?
Sure. I have two clips on Iran.
Okay.
And then they're about the postponement, Trump's postponement. So we can do CBS.
Hold on. Let me talk about the actual attack for, or the threat first. Where did he go? Oh yeah. Here it is. This is before the postponement.
Meanwhile, tensions over the Strait of Hormuz are rising after Donald Trump issued an ultimatum to Iran to reopen the strategic waterway through which a fifth of the world's liquefied gas and oil passes. In a post on Truth Social, the president said if Iran doesn't fully open without threat the Strait of Hormuz within 48 hours from this exact point in time, the United States of America will hit and obliterate their various power plants, starting with the biggest one first. The message was posted on Saturday evening at 11:45 p.m., 44 p.m., GMT, I should say, which was about a quarter to one on Sunday morning here in Central Europe. Iran has now threatened to completely shut the strait if Trump acts on his threats. Earlier, Tehran said energy facilities across the Middle East could be irreversibly destroyed should Iranian power plants be targeted, a sentiment that was echoed on the streets of Tehran.
We have responded to the U.S. president. If Iran's electricity is cut off, the entire region must be cut off, and the people strongly support the military's decision.
This kind of talk, threatening Iran's infrastructure, has more of a propaganda aspect, and we the people are seeing it.
I love the Irish translator there at the end. Yeah, so that was the that was before the postponement, but interestingly enough, it seems like that was a next level threat. And I think it talks to a little bit of the people that have been claiming the strikes in Iran have been effectively precision strikes on military installations, you know, save for that one girl's school. It's been pretty precision based. And then going after the infrastructure is actually kind of going after the people as well of the regime, you know.
Yeah, of course. And we still don't know whether or not, no matter what the U.S. does, whether Israel will follow in our footsteps. You know, I think it's pretty obvious to most everyone who observes these things that they won't. And that's probably the biggest dilemma for the Trump administration, is that they can talk all they want to, but they have no idea what Israel's going to do.
Right. Yeah, but it's interesting. I think, you know, this has obviously been walked back now. I think everyone knows that. But 48 hours from this exact moment in time was then walked back. And I think it speaks to the fact that they might actually be speaking to somebody in Iran. You know, they said that they were speaking to somebody in Iran. I've got Trump outside of Air Force One saying they're talking to a top person. I'll just play a little snippet.
Mr. President, Iran's foreign ministry says you're not telling the truth when it comes to productive conversations to end the war.
Well, they're going to have to get themselves better public relations people. We have had very, very strong talks. We'll see where they lead.
Wow,
we have
a bit of projection,
points,
maybe?
Major points of agreement. I would say almost all points of agreement. Perhaps that hasn't been conveyed. The communication, as you know, has been blown to pieces. They were on a Witkoff, and Mr. Kushner had them. They went, I would say, perfectly. I would say that if they carry through with that, it'll end that problem, that conflict. And I think it'll end it very, very substantially. So the discussions took place yesterday. They went into yesterday evening. They want very much to make a deal. We'd like to make a deal, too. We're going to get together today. We're doing a 5-day period. We'll see how that goes. And if it goes well, we're going to end up with settling this. Otherwise, we'll just keep bombing our little hearts out.
Who is Steve Witkoff speaking with, Mr. President?
A top person. Don't forget, we've wiped out the leadership phase one, phase two, and largely phase three. But we're dealing with the man who I believe is the most respected and the leader. You know, it's a little out. We've wiped out everybody.
Is that the Supreme Leader?
No, not the Supreme Leader.
So
we don't. Well, nobody heard of the second Supreme Leader, the son.
Are these correct?
But the people that seem to be running it, and they seem that based on really fact, because things they've said have taken place.
Mr. President,
again.
Mr. President, I know you've deployed.
Because I don't want him to be killed. Okay? I don't want him to be killed.
Mr. President.
He's got to hide the identity from Israel, maybe.
Yeah, that's exactly the point I was going to make. I was going to say, killed by who?
Yeah, exactly. I think it's interesting, though, because I don't know if it was art of the deal or what the whole... I mean, I think it was art of the deal. We're going to attack your power plants. And then the 5-day ceasefire. Iran coming out and saying that's not true, I think might speak to what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago when this all started, was how they were kind of given the, I guess, mission of hitting whatever you can, these kind of outposts in Iran that were firing on all of the Middle Eastern countries with the kind of, I guess, designation to just cause, wreak havoc. You remember that, the Iranians?
Yeah, it was framed as a delegation of authority to strike.
Right.
To field commanders.
So it might speak to that as to Iran coming out and saying that's not true, about the communication, but it sounds like there's actual legitimate talks going on. At least that's how the Trump administration is framing it. So, I don't know. But fool me three times. I'm a clown, I guess, but we'll see.
Well, I have, you mentioned that this 48-hour deadline was postponed, and correct me if I'm wrong, but I think the interview outside of the helicopter you just played was after that deadline had been postponed. Is that right?
Yeah, because he said we're now doing a 5-day ceasefire.
Right. So I have a little bit of media coverage of the postponement.
Okay.
I mean, I don't know if you want to backtrack to that or just move on.
Sure, no, we can do it.
Let's start with CBS.
After more than 3 weeks of war, U.S. forces have struck more than 9,000 targets in Iran.
Major military operation, right?
And damaged or destroyed more than 140 ships and boats, all that according to the Pentagon. But the Islamic Republic tonight continues to fire back at the U.S. and its allies. Senior National Security Correspondent Charlie Daggett has more on the fighting tonight from Tel Aviv.
Charlie. In the middle of the latest wave of airstrikes across Iran. A sudden about-face from President Trump, postponing for 5 days a deadline to obliterate Iran's power plants in order to break the country's siege on the Strait of Hormuz. But CBS News has learned Iran has laid at least a dozen mines in that strait to target any ships that dare to try passing through. Officials tell us there's been no change in the plans to send thousands more Marines and sailors to the region, in addition to ordering elements of the 82nd Airborne Division, potential ground troops, to prepare to deploy. And yet, despite more than 3 weeks of punishing airstrikes, Iran continues to strike back. With two ballistic missiles hitting cities in Israel's south over the weekend, injuring close to 200 people. Two strikes within a few hours, raising concerns Israel and U.S. forces may be running low on interceptors as this war goes on.
There have been a number of cluster bombs over the weekend, too, even in neighborhoods behind me in Tel Aviv. But over the last 24 hours, it's been a lot quieter, which may suggest Iran is either running out of these missiles or conserving what they've got left. Tony?
Great analysis there. The rate of fire has slowed. They might not have a lot of them, or they might, but they don't want to use them.
Right, and there is a little bit of misdirection here, I think, coming from Iran, because they did seem to hold back more advanced missiles.
So it is claimed.
Until just a few days ago.
Right. I have a clip on that, those more advanced missiles. You'd like to...
Are you skeptical of that claim?
Potentially. I don't really know enough, but okay. I know that there's a lot of information being flown around that's not exactly true. And, you know,
Of course. Could the smog of war.
Yeah, the smog of war. You could categorize it as, you know, almost, oh, they're firing missiles at Turkey now, the largest NATO member and European army. So, you know, but here's that report with their advanced missile system.
Concerns about Iran's missile capabilities after Tehran fired two ballistic missiles toward the U.S.-UK base on Diego Garcia.
Call it Tehran.
In the Indian Ocean. Officials say neither missile hit the base, but the strike from about 2,500 miles away suggests Iran's missiles may reach further than previously thought. News Nation's Joe Khalil is in Dubai.
Anna, while the president is saying that he's considering winding this conflict down, it also appears as though virtually every other metric seems this conflict is actually escalating. President Trump saying he's not ready for a ceasefire just yet.
Out of control.
And on the Iranian side, you've seen them expand their target list, figuratively and literally, shooting a missile 4,000 kilometers away at a U.S.-UK military base, not in the Middle East, but in the Indian Ocean. Diego Garcia Garcia, which is a first for the Iranians, targeting something like that and displaying that they can shoot missiles that distance, which would be significantly beyond Iran and Israel. You've also got the U.S. striking in Iran today, along with Israeli strikes, again targeting Natanz. This is an enrichment center in Iran, significant because it's one of the three enrichment sites that the U.S. struck last year in Operation Midnight Hammer, now striking it again. You've also got several strikes inside of Israel, most of those intercepted. However, there was one missile that did land and hit just outside of Jerusalem, the old city. Pieces, remnants of a missile, shrapnel, ended up hitting the Al-Aqsa Mosque. Remember, that Ooh. Is an area there where you've got several holy sites. Meantime, this is what President Trump said when asked about potentially an end date and a potential pause in the fighting here. Take a listen.
I don't want to do a ceasefire. You know, you don't do a ceasefire when you're literally obliterating the other side.
And an incredibly rare joint statement. You have the entirety of the UAE, the UK, and several European countries all signing on to this letter demanding that Iran pull back its grip from the Strait of Hormuz and allow oil to again flow through that incredibly important waterway. So far, no response yet from the Iranians.
Now, wouldn't that be interesting if Iran blew up the Al-Aqsa Mosque? Air quotes, Iran. You know? Oh, it was an Iranian missile.
Did we not discuss this potential for a false flag?
I don't think we said this specific one, but that would be interesting. Because the destruction of the Second Temple is paramount to the idea of fulfilling this prophecy of, you know, building the Third Temple and the savior of the Jewish people coming.
Yeah, I guess I'm assuming that we just, or that when I was discussing this, I just left the assumption that it would be framed as an Iranian attack on the Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Oh, maybe we did. Trashman's saying we did. So I mean, there's there. They only got little fragments of it, you know. They, fragments of the bomb, but did you see the footage out of the neighborhood in Israel that just got hit? I think it was like 100 and some dead.
I've seen a lot of footage. I'm not sure.
Yeah. It was pretty bad. But, you know, it's a little bit of... I imagine the Palestinians kind of must feel like... You know, how does it feel? How does it feel to be on that end of it? So...
Yeah, and my comment earlier about the more advanced missiles, I've seen people claiming that from a place of authority. I was just looking at the footage coming off of the Telegram channels, and the missile strikes that are being recorded in Israel are much more violent impacts than the ones from the beginning of the war.
Is that like the cluster bomb aspect of it? I don't know.
No, I've seen what they claim are cluster bombs. I don't think they're actually cluster bombs though. I thought a cluster bomb basically released little pellet bombs, kind of like grenades. And maybe this is the same thing, but the ones that I'm seeing almost look like a cluster of rockets. And I'm not seeing anywhere where one projectile is exploding out into many projectiles. I'm seeing just what looks like a cluster of rockets approaching. And I keep hearing cluster bombs. And maybe...
It's possible.
Maybe
that's
I'm just a
variant, you know, cluster missile munition. I'm not
Yeah, but don't you remember that expert. When they were talking about cluster bombs in regards to Russia and Ukraine, it was these little bomblets. Remember the term bomblets? And yeah. You're like, oh, the Ukrainian children are going to go pick up the bomblet and it's going to blow up. A bomblet wouldn't make this signature in the sky that we're seeing accompanying the quote-unquote cluster bomb rhetoric. But you're right. Maybe it is a variant.
Yeah. I don't really know.
Is getting more like COVID every day.
I've never really been. There's like people that will be able to tell you everything about military hardware and whatnot. I just, for whatever reason, unless it's the topic du jour, like the Shahed or whatnot, I just don't really care enough, which sounds bad, but it's the truth. It's the God honest truth.
Well, for something like this, where there's a much larger topic than just one cluster bomb and what maybe it hit, it really doesn't matter. I mean, what does it matter if Iran is using bomblet cluster bombs or some variant of a quote-unquote cluster bomb? In the grand scheme of this conflict, it doesn't matter.
Right.
But I, you know, deconstructing the narratives as we do, it is worth mentioning, but I don't think it's worth really digging into as a topic in and of itself.
Yeah, bomblets. It was, what is the tip of the missile, instead of containing a big barrel of explosive, contains a mechanism which holds a lot of small bombs. Yeah, those don't sound... And when the missile approaches a target, it opens its skin and it peels off and it peels around and the bomblets are released and released into a space and fall on the ground. So they're still claiming that it's like a typical, you know, like effectively grenades falling out of a rocket. But you're suggesting that it looks like rockets coming out of a rocket.
Well, I haven't seen anything come out of a single projectile. I've just seen these clusters of rockets.
Yeah.
In the sky. And that's the cluster bomb rhetoric is just these cluster of missile signatures in the sky falling what appears to be rather slowly.
I'm just thinking, I bet there is a military expert somewhere, and he's sounding like we are when the news anchors are explaining what semi-automatic means on a gun. You pull the trigger one time, and one bullet comes out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I have another postponement clip just for comparison, okay. And it's from MS Now, your favorite.
MS Now.
In those small areas, so we have breaking news. Let's stop.
Oh,
and I just want to, before we go to this, I want to just confirm. I just want to confirm that is a Truth Social post. Mm-hmm. Alex, can can you check the Truth Social feed? we're going to be going from this to John Lemire. Just got a post from Donald Trump on Truth Social. Significant. Read it.
Yeah, I am reading it now. It is confirmed. It's on Truth Social. It's also been amplified by White House Press Secretary Karen Levitt. So
okay.
The president, just a few moments ago, in all caps, writes, "I am pleased to report the United States of America and the country of Iran have had, over the last 2 days, very good and productive conversations regarding a complete and total resolution of our hostilities in the Middle East. Based on the tenor and tone of these in-depth, detailed, and constructive conversations, which will continue throughout the week, I have instructed the Department of War to postpone any and all military strikes against Iranian power plants and energy infrastructure for a 5-day period, subject to the success of the ongoing meetings and discussions. Thank you for your attention to this matter." So, Joe, that's the extent of it. Basically, what this means is that ultimatum,
right,
the 48 hours to reopen the Strait of Hormuz, or we will hit Iran's energy infrastructure, that was at 7:44 p.m. tonight. That would be 48 hours. So he is pushing that deadline. This is not suggesting that all attacks will stop,
right,
but it is suggesting that those on energy infrastructure and power plants will be suspended for at least 5 days based on conversations. Apparently, the president saying some progress this weekend.
Yeah, that is a good distinction he makes at the end there, because I've seen headlines that say despite 5-day ceasefire, Iran still rocked today with missiles.
Yeah, and that was the point earlier about it's more than us in this war. It's more than U.S. in this
right.
war.
The J-Boys. All right. Well, that's interesting. It keeps going on and on. People are losing interest in Iran, I think, overall. No one's really talking about it.
Well, that's why I have two clips.
No. I'm not suggesting that we stop covering it.
That's also why I led with Afro Man.
Yeah, I'm not suggesting we stop covering it.
Not either.
But I'm just saying, I think I think it's like it's losing interest in the people who don't even care about it anymore. People are talking about freaking Afro Man, and liberal activists are going to Cuba to paint murals. The Cubans are like, thanks. Now please give us some bread. So, well, what else do we have?
I think people are to expand on your point. And you're right. Your instinct is absolutely correct. People are losing interest in this because their interest is shifting to the effects of the war. And the effects of the war are really what people are talking about and beginning to talk about.
Short-term pain for long-term gain. But yes, the gas prices.
2 weeks. 2 weeks to two weeks to stop the inflation.
That's right. It's all over again. I think Iran was a mistake. I think honest analysis of this situation can suggest Iran was a mistake that Trump made, a tactical error on behalf of the U.S. I think he
party.
Realizes it. I think a lot of people realize it, but a cohort of people that will, you know, explain the 44D chess around that as well. And it's actually kind of a interesting divide in the party because it's people and people within our sphere of, you know, more deeper dive into the news. We know that the headlines aren't, not only are they not telling you the full story, they're oftentimes you know, we know their agendas, but it's like people that are in our usual kind of deconstruction mode, like us, are also kind of divided on this topic.
Yeah, to the point where there have been posters online, a very concerted effort by posters online to say, at this point, if you are anti-war, and some distinguish 100% anti-war in all scenarios, some just say anti-war, suggesting if you're anti-war right now, you are a communist.
Right. Neocons, bad when we're not in charge, good when we are in charge. You know, it's just, it's kind of funny.
They were right all along.
Exactly. Turns out, Iraq did have weapons of mass destruction. They just gave them to Iran now. Speaking of which, I was listening to a podcast. I can't remember which one, but somebody was talking about how...
A podcast?
Yeah, exactly. Someone was talking about how, you know, the globe is all carved up. And they were talking about, you know, kind of the British foundings of these countries and how they were divided up long ago. And the line was, let's block Iraq's port access and call it Kuwait. So it's just like, you know, how we've been talking about how these different countries are formed. I thought that line was particularly good. And it makes a lot of sense when you look at a map.
Let me ask you to look again at a map.
When you just see Kuwait there and it's like, yep, Iraq. And then a little carve out right along the Arabian Peninsula for Kuwait. And Saddam actually... that was the first desert war with George Bush Sr. is the one that went in. He invaded Kuwait to try to take it back and make it part of Iraq. And Margaret Thatcher convinced George W. Bush Sr. to go in and do Desert Storm. So a little bit of history for the millennials out there.
Okay. Now, I want to pivot to this, the economics that are emerging because of this conflict. I've got probably my largest folder of the night is going to be on the global economy.
Okay.
So unless you have something more kinetic to discuss on the heels of Iran and the history of the geography of the region, I think we should get in. I think we should get into the these. Shall we call it the economic pandemic?
I'm not crazy about the name, but sure, we can call it that.
Let's see. We got COVID, we got cost of living, coronavirus. I'm trying to think of a good a good name for this phenomenon, because
ouchie
before
oil.
We get off into the clips, we are what?
Ouchie oil. Oil's price is so high, it's ouchie.
Let's pass on that one.
Sounds good.
But you are hearing, and we identified this last week and kind of brushed it off, but I've seen more and more of this discussion that basically uses the tropes and the narratives and the slogans from COVID. People are talking about lockdowns. They're talking about rationing. It's really bubbling back up to the surface. And maybe it's just because the collective human psyche is scarred from the experience during COVID, and these things just kind of come up whenever you have another potentially traumatic event, especially with people in the media who really bought into everything, anything and everything COVID. And maybe that just explains it. But you could also look at it more nefariously and say, COVID potentially was conditioning for a global war and energy supply shock scenario.
I like that.
So,
I like that.
Let's go to the global economy folder, and let's start out with our Aussie Australia. If a flu shot works well in Australia, we'll use it here in America. Their flu season is one season ahead of ours. And we see that the envelope was pushed in Australia with COVID lockdowns and all these other things. So I said, well, let's see what I mentioned last week, that there was a clip floating around of a guy saying you should expect store shelves to be empty. So I said, okay. I said, self, why don't we check in on Australia this week and expand on that a little bit? And I surely brought something to share. Shipments cut to Aussies.
And the Middle East crisis has already driven up fuel prices around the world. There are concerns now about disruptions to the shipping of oil into Australia. Political correspondent Cameron Redden has more and joins us live from Canberra. Cam, good afternoon. So the government is telling people not to panic buy, but there is that growing concern and that threat to our oil supply. What do you know?
Janie, we are now starting to see some obvious, at least disruptions to the oil supply into Australia. The government says it's taken action to effectively insure against this, but already now we are seeing some shipment disruptions. Have a look at this. The Energy Minister, Chris Bowen, confirming today that of the roughly 81 ships bound to Australia carrying fuel, remember we rely heavily on imported oil, 6 of those due to arrive in April have been cancelled. Now, for now, we've managed to fill the gap by finding oil from elsewhere, including the likes of Mexico, Canada, and also Malaysia. The government has released more than 700 million litres of petrol from our emergency reserves. But this really is a short-term solution. The concern from the government is that if this war continues for several months, not weeks, then there could be further disruptions to those shipments coming to Australia. For now, though, it believes that we have at least enough to get through the next few weeks comfortably, even if that means the prices at the bowsers are going to remain high for the short to medium term.
Prices at the bowsers. Love it.
Now, they're going to reference an organization, the IEA. Do you know what that is?
I do not, no.
The International Energy Agency. And I think this is the agency to keep our eyes on. You know, we saw Event 201 and the media coming out of WHO during the pandemic. I think the IEA is going to be a thought leader during this energy crunch, this energy demic. I call it an energy demic. That's better. It's not great, but an energy demic is, we're getting there. So the IEA is what we're going to listen to next. This is this fellow on this same segment discussing the IEA's recommendations.
The International Energy Agency, in a bombshell report late last week, recommended that countries consider a range of drastic measures, from effectively suggesting more work from home, from trying to limit aviation and air travel, to reducing the amount of time that people use cars on certain roads, all as potential options to try and manage this global rush for oil. The Albanese government not considering any of those at this stage. There are powers that would allow the federal government to effectively ration oil. That's not something that the energy minister wants to do at this stage, instead pointing to some of the powers that states have, which allow them to take some actions with lower thresholds. Chris Bowen, though, is wary that this may be a longer-term crisis should the war continue for many more months.
I think some people would already be doing that. There are other people for whom that's not an option, you know, and I think people would already be looking at their options to minimise their fuel use at the moment. For other people, it's a lot harder. Okay. So I don't think a one-size-fits-all approach is necessary, and the IEA report is really, if you like, a smorgasbord of options for all countries around the world. While we are dealing with that uncertainty, we still have two refineries working full pelt. Would be better if we'd had more, sure, but we do have two. And we also have the boats continuing to arrive.
A little bit of a gap.
This will be a significant issue when Parliament returns tomorrow here in Canberra, Janie. And in a stroke of timing as well, the head of the International Energy Agency, its executive director, will deliver a major address to the National Press Club here in Canberra tomorrow, one that will be significant not just for Australian motorists, but also for the global community too.
I didn't know they had two refineries in Australia. Thought they would have outlawed all refineries by now.
Not yet. So, just a little bit of quality control here. I think our delay is pretty bad right now.
It's not great. It's been better before. I don't know what we can do to fix it.
Well, I don't either.
I could try reloading clean feed quick. Let me give it a go. Yeah, start counting when you hear me counting. Start counting when you hear me counting. One, two, three.
One, two, three, yeah, four.
That's a lot better.
Yeah, I'm watching the buffer climb, though.
Yeah. Okay, what do you got?
Let's move on to rations. This is the same segment, same report. Now we're going to talk about rationing.
We just had the former ACCC chair on, Cam, Alan Fells, and he spoke about potentially having to have fuel rations that we saw in the 70s. Was there any indication on that you've heard?
70s. They're back, baby.
Well, Chris Bowen, Janie, has said this morning that that is a power that exists to him. The International Energy Agency has called this effectively an even worse energy crisis than what we saw in the 70s and 80s, and there was some rationing around then. So it's an option that's on the table. It's not something, my understanding is, that the government wants to look at this point in time, given the uncertainty of the duration. If Donald Trump is right and the president effectively ends the US contribution in the next couple of weeks, could that see an opening of the Strait of Hormuz again and an easing of some of those pressures down the road? At the moment, Janie, the suggestion is that the federal government is looking to the states about whether they would want to act and make it a more direct local response, if you like, if there's a particular shortage or issue in one state or another, rather than a top-down approach. But it really all depends on how long this goes, because if there is to be a depletion of those reserves, then the government may need to look at those national fuel emergency powers when it comes to rationing, powers that under the Act established many years ago have not actually needed to be used, but are considered at this point, but not in any imminent stage, is my understanding.
The rations are coming. That's the second parallel to the 70s. I've long heard stories of the long lines for gas pumps here in the United States during the 70s. And they're suggesting that this is somehow worse right now?
that it could be.
Oh, okay. Could be. Might be.
I want you to, yeah, could be. I want you to put a marker down. I'm gonna get an Ethernet cable and hard line into my router and see if that improves a little bit.
Okay. Can do. Putting a marker right down. All right, folks. So I was talking about Sonar, which is S-O-N-A-R-R, for downloading TV shows, but Radar, R-A-D-A-R-R, is also good for movies. If you see one that's coming up that you want to watch, it's a pretty cool app. Set it and forget it, really. You just pop in that movie. And if it's a movie that's already come out and you're like out and about, you set up your sonar to an external drive or an external URL. Use like Nginx or something like that. You can access it and, you know, your wife's like, oh, we should watch this movie when we get home. You pop it in your phone right there, hit your sonar from wherever you are. And by the time you get home, it's downloaded. Oftentimes older movies, like if they're talking about 1080p, before 2015, you can download that in 5-10 minutes if your internet connection's right. It's pretty great. Also, this is some, I guess, a bit of news. The show used to run off of a Raspberry Pi. That Raspberry Pi was also my NOS, and it was slow, but it did its job, and it was fine. I was talking to Claude about optimization, and it was like, why don't you use this Dell Optiplex that you have running some of your other web services? Just keep it running those web services and, you know, get rid of the Raspberry Pi, put it in place of the Raspberry Pi. And I did, and it's like my life has advanced 10 years. My technology on my network has advanced 10 years. Raspberry Pis are great for doing small tasks and whatnot, but they're not great for running large amounts of Docker containers and Open Media Vault and that stuff. So fun stuff. Fun stuff. I've now graduated from the Raspberry Pi. So that being said, the Raspberry Pi that started the show, the stream was run on, it's been moved off for a long time, and was also my NOS, is now fully retired. So I've got a Raspberry Pi 4, 4 gigabytes, that is like the first memento of the show. The first history of the show. Like, it is the origin of the show. And now it is just sitting on my desk, powerless. So, might have to frame it. Yeah, you really got to get the multi-core. That's very true. Very true indeed. So just waiting on John to get an Ethernet cable plugged into his machine. I assumed that he was plugged into an Ethernet cable. I hope he has like an Ethernet adapter and realizes that there's not Ethernet ports on most modern day computers, laptops. I think he's doing it on a laptop. I'm not sure. I'm sure he realizes that. I'm waiting for him to hop back on and yell at me. And so, of course, I realize that, but we'll see. Other bits of news. I recently put a relay into my garage door. It's called the Shelly One. It's just a little relay. It's got a reed switch as well, so I can see if my garage door is open or closed. I can open and close my garage door. And using a sensor, a weather station outside in my backyard, and a temperature probe inside, I can turn on my garage exhaust fan. And I can also vent my door because my garage isn't fully insulated. So I can have the garage door raise like probably 8 inches off the ground. You'll never guess how I measured it. And then I can like get some fresh air, and then another fan activates and flows through, and it all happens automatically with some pretty interesting scripting rules in there as to when it can do that, when it can't do that. And yeah, it's a lot of fun, lot of fun to do that sort of automation and that stuff. I wouldn't recommend, if you're going to get started, I Booberry was FaceTiming me. He's doing a bunch of home assistant stuff with his lights. I wouldn't recommend starting with things like garage doors, but relays, if you don't know about relays, are a ton of fun. They can be pretty much logic-backed switches. And with that, you can perform a lot of neat stuff. You know, anything that you want to be made smart can be made smart with a relay, more or less, I would say. So, lots of cool logic. I have a, I get notifications from my local mesh through Home Assistant now. So, if there's a message on the local mesh, I don't have to be connected to a mesh node. My Wi-Fi connected mesh node receives the message and then submits it to MQTT, in which Home Assistant sends me a notification. I can read the message. Then I can hop on the Meshtastic if I want to and respond. Usually I don't want to respond. My local mesh has become effectively Reddit now, and it's incredibly cringe, and I don't like it. But shit, it's a fan. I have that option. Man, I wonder if John is having a hard time finding an Ethernet cord or finding the proper hole in which to put an Ethernet cable. Or if he's just restarting his entire router. So, what else have I been up to lately? March Madness. Yes, March Madness. As some of you may know, I was a St. Louis Billiken, that is my alma mater, and they made it to the big dance. Round one, they played Georgia and buried them. I think they won by 30 points, 105 to 75, and it was great. It was awesome. And then they played Michigan, and they stayed competitive with Michigan up until the last 5 minutes of the game when Michigan pulled ahead. I'm usually not a huge fan of African tree hockey, but, you know, it is kind of fun. It is kind of fun to watch it during the March Madness period. Just get into the games. The games are intense. Everyone's playing, you know. It's one and done, so as soon as you lose, you're done. So the kids are playing their hearts out, and it's great. It is absolutely great. I'm not a big sports ball watcher all the time, but for those certain events, I like it. John has muted himself. He went away, he came back, and now he has muted himself. So we'll see what that means. We'll see what that entails. The kids are fixing their hearts out. Yeah, the, what do they call that rule where the athletes can make money now? NIS. It's great for some people.
Like name, image, and likeness.
M-I-L?
N-I-L.
N-I-L.
N-I-L. Name, yeah. Image, likeness.
Yeah, there's apparently some gymnast from LSU that has just become a sensation from NIL.
Yes, indeed.
Did you put an Ethernet cable in?
I put it in the hole.
Yeah, nice.
I'm watching the round trip for a second because before round trip was, and that's the network measure, was spiking, and that's when it would lag and we would get off.
Sure.
But it seems to be, there it goes. It just popped again. You remember having this problem with clean feed before?
Yeah. I don't know if it's clean feed or what it could be.
Yeah, I don't think it's clean feed either because they've got jitter receipts and theirs is routinely below 10 milliseconds.
Sure.
Which is really good.
What are you watching?
And the buffer is what's jumping up. So that's going to be network.
Yeah, what are you watching the thing on?
If you go, so my screen looks like my bar at the top where I can see my audio level and my mute button.
Sure.
Then headphones in the middle. Then you're at the bottom. And on your input where it's got the phone and Dan and says connected.
Yep.
There's a drop down menu.
Hamburger menu. Yeah, yeah, I see it. Jitter on receipt.
See that?
Yep.
See it jumping up?
A little bit here and there. Ooh, I like it. It jumps around when I talk.
Yeah, that's higher than it usually is, and I think that's why we're getting the drops and the lags.
Yeah. Might be on my end. It could be. I've been having some interesting networking stuff recently going on.
Well,
I could reboot my router if you wanted.
I mean, I could do that too. I don't think there'd be any harm in both of us doing that.
All right, if you want to do that for quickly, we can reboot our router. Headphone listeners, be warned. Drop All right. coming.
Yeah.
All right. Let me hop on my router here, and I'll reboot it. Rebooting. Man, a router password's so good, I don't even remember it. Oh, I wish it was a joke, but it's true. Here it comes. See everybody.